Attention, everyone. The unpleasant noise you are about to hear is not a mistake.
Welcome to our podcast today, entitled Thank You, But I'm Not Pregnant, I'm Just Fat. And introducing our host today, Miss Fatty.
Bitches! This is Miss Fatty, and I'm back. Finally, again, I know you've been holding your breaths, but I am finally back, and we are going to have a awesome, amazing Making Up For All That Lost Time podcast today. So let's jump right into it on May 26th of 2007, and let's get our status report.
Miss Fatty's status report.
Miss Fatty's status report. Miss Fatty's status report. Miss Fatty's status report.
So, there's obviously a lot to talk about since I haven't made a podcast in, 5 months. Well, first of all, number one, big reason why I've been so busy, I got accepted into law school. Woohoo! That's very exciting for me. It was just, a huge weight off my shoulders. You can see I'm a little bit more chipper. I don't have to worry about it. I am going to law school in the fall. On that note, I'm also getting married May of 08, and this month actually marked the 1-year mark, so then actually I can, start planning a little bit more seriously. But unfortunately, I have to plan everything before law school starts because law school is so demanding of my time. So now I'm doing the wedding stress mode. Now, speaking of wedding stress, that leads to the wedding dress. As I talked about on my last podcast, I went wedding dress shopping. I actually went shopping again this month. And funny enough, I found a dress I loved before. I found the exact same dress, and it was marked half off, and I still was in love with it, so I bought it. So I've got a wedding dress. We finally reserved our reception hall. We've got a photographer, and we're working on the church, so things are in motion. So that's really exciting. And then, on top of all of that, I am done with school. I graduated with my undergraduate degree, and so I'm finally a college graduate. Yay! Golf claps, everyone. Thank you. And so it's been a really exciting couple of months, but what I really want to talk to you guys is a couple topics of the week.
Topic 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 of the week.
Well, I've got quite a few things I want to cover today on our topics of the week. Number one, I don't know if any of you guys know about this or if you've kind of been researching it, but the first FDA-approved weight loss pill is coming out June 15th. I am not sure what I think about it quite yet. First of all, it's pretty expensive. I think what I've been hearing, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, for about a 40-pill starting pack, it's about $60, and considering you take 3 pills a day, that's not very much. Although I do hear you can track down a 90-pill set for $69 through the web. Of course, make sure it's a credible website. I was researching the pill, just kind of the pill, not that pill, but I was researching it and trying to figure out a little bit more about it, what it did. It's just a less powerful version of a prescription that's already out. Unfortunately, one of the side effects, which I thought was very interesting, is if you have anything that is over, I believe, 3 grams of fat per serving, you run the risk of, let me be blunt, crapping your pants. It's very hard to control your bowel movements with this particular pill. And on the website, they state that they believe this is an incentive to eat healthier things. I would say it's an incentive not to take that pill, in my opinion. But I think I might try it out, just for the podcast's sake, of course. Now, my weight is fluctuating a lot because I started a weight loss program, a popular one out there, and I've been counting some calories, quote-unquote, through their books and systems. I was really gung-ho about it, and I lost, 10 pounds the first week. I was so excited, and then graduation hit, and I ate way too much bad food, and then I just packed it all back on. So I'm not sure if it's a long-term solution or not, but that's really fluctuating. Since my last podcast, I've gained 15 to 20 pounds, and it's awful, and I should feel bad about it, but I honestly don't, because, I can't control it. I've been exercising. Speaking of exercising, this might seem contradictory, but we just got a Wii, and a Wii I think it's like one of the best workouts because we play tennis and boxing. Just gets your heart rate going, and as long as you do it for 30 minutes, I don't see why that couldn't be a cardio workout. Obviously, you want to do weight training too, but it's a cardio workout. Now, I'm going to start the exercising gung-ho as of, let's say, tomorrow, really probably Monday, because my wedding dress, being a brilliant, wonderful person that I am, considering my weight loss history, I ordered it a size too small, because that was the only size they had, because it was on sale, so I need to buff up hardcore. The size fit me, no problem, but, you know, kind of got that little, like, back fat thing going on, and who wants back fat in their wedding pictures? So I've got to start lifting the weights, and I'm just really going to focus on my upper body because it's an A-line dress and nobody's going to see my bottom half, so I really don't care. And I know I have thunder thighs and they're not going anywhere. When I was in seventh grade, my mom took me to the doctor because I was getting stretch marks on my thighs already at seventh grade. And keeping in mind that I weighed 110 pounds, I believe, 100 pounds probably in seventh grade, and I was already getting stretch marks on my thighs. And the doctor said, there's nothing you can do about it. It's just genetics. And so ever since then, she said, look at my thighs, and they're ugly. I've got stretch marks. I've got, you know, veins. I don't have good legs. I've never had good legs. Even when I was skinny, I didn't have good legs, or a good butt for that matter. And it's just, I've come to terms with it. There's nothing I'm going to be able to do to make my butt any better than it is. I run, I try to lift, you know, I do low weight, high reps, try to lose fat. I do all the things I'm supposed to do, and it just doesn't work because it's just genetics. I'm going to have a lower, fatter bottom half for the rest of my life. But thankfully, I'm marrying a guy who knows that. And I've talked about it very bluntly with him. And he said, you know, it's a good thing that I'm not an ass guy. He's like, don't worry about it ever. I'm not an ass guy. I'm a boob guy. So everyone out there, look for the guy who likes you for you. Don't try to change yourself. Speaking of which, I promised to talk about relationships. Unfortunately, I'm trying to get a podcast out to you guys as fast as I can. So I didn't get any guest speakers. I will definitely try next week. If you guys want to send me sound bites, at fatty200.podomatic.com, there's a link on there you can send us sound clips. I will definitely put them on the air. Or if you just want to send us an email at misspattypodcast@hotmail.com, I'll put them on the air. But we are going to talk about relationships. Relationships, ugh, how difficult are they when you're bigger? It's impossible. I just think the insecurity is just unreal. And there's those people that say everybody has insecurities. I know a hell of a lot of cocky, thin girls than I know bigger size girls. And it's just true. It's just reality that we have to accept. They believe that there is nothing wrong with the way they look, and they don't have to worry about it, and then also think about what other people think about it, and how they're going to find somebody who accepts that. And I just think it is much more difficult when you're larger. I've experienced both, and I just feel constantly like there's something wrong with me. And it's not even with me that I personally think that, like, that's coming from within. It has a lot to do with what society says. I think that we've all had a friend who has gotten dumped because they've gotten fat. Because, let's just throw it out there, everybody gains weight when they start dating someone. It's a fact. They start taking you out to eat, you know, you automatically gain weight. I mean, I've gained, I think, 60 pounds since I met my fiancé. Maybe more at this point. And obviously some of that had to do with me, but also it had to do with the fact that I was in a new relationship and I was eating a lot of food I shouldn't be eating, but you're doing it because you love this person and you want to spend time with them and you want to be yourself. You don't want to be that girl that eats the salad. And speaking of which, how many of you guys out there feel like you have to eat a salad when you go out to eat with your friends? Especially if you're out with some skinny friends. Like, I feel like if I get the cheeseburger, everyone's going to be looking at me like, oh my gosh, you got cheeseburger. When the skinny chick got this cheeseburger too. There's, like, it's such a double standard. Anyways, back to relationships. I think we all know somebody who's gotten dumped because of the gaining weight. Or I know a lot of people that worry about their husband or their boyfriend leaving them if they get pregnant. And then they have pregnancy weight on them. Because, I mean, heaven forbid, you actually carry a child for 9 months and you gain a little bit of weight from it. I mean, my goodness. And today I had a chat with a coworker about this, and she was just saying, you know, we were talking about tattoos and how they stretch when you gain weight. And she said, you know, I've had two kids. She's like, I think I look pretty damn good for having two kids. And I mean, granted, she weighed more than her teenage self, but you have to be realistic. And I think that you have to search for a mate that is realistic, that is mature. If a guy is mature, then that won't matter. I'm sorry, but of course has to be a sexual spark there. I mean, we can't deny that. You can't marry someone that doesn't want you physically. But you have to find a guy that's mature enough to look past your flaws and then look at you. I dated a guy for 3 years who, when he got mad at me, he would call me fat because that was his weapon that he knew would hurt me. And I can't imagine my fiancé ever pulling that out. And if he did, he would feel hell for it. It wouldn't even hurt my feelings as much as I would be pissed off. But you have to find a guy that looks past that and doesn't look at other girls and doesn't make you feel insecure and makes you feel very special inside. Now, I always feel like it's a problem, maybe just because I'm so much more insecure since I've gained weight, but I think cheating is a problem because guys are tempted by everything. I'm sorry, guys, if you're listening, but it just seems like when it comes to cheating, the guy's always looking for greener pastures. And so I always feel very self-conscious that the guy's going to be cheating on me. I think that if you feel like he's cheating on you or you feel like he's going to cheat on you, you need to have an honest, frank, sit-down talk with him and say, this is how I feel, this is why I feel like it, is it justified, is it not justified, and just be like, you know, give it to me honest, where, you know, this is our relationship, we need to work on it. If you lie to me now, then that's not going to do anything, and just do it honestly. And if you approach it with a mature and maybe even a little bit emotionally detached, I think you'll get a lot more honest answers than if you were to go into it just accusing the person of cheating, accusing them of hurting your feelings, and saying that you aren't enough, and just being very dramatic. If you go into it very level-headed and explain what you feel, then you are going to get an honest response, hopefully. Once again, the guy's mature enough to be worth keeping, you need to do that. Now, keeping is a big thing too. When you're a bigger girl, at least I feel like this, it feels like take what you can get. Like, I'm always afraid, like, if a guy's treating me bad, it's better than being alone. It's, you know, having a bad boyfriend's better than no boyfriend. I think it's very important for people to realize that that's not the case. That is not the case. Guys treating you bad, it is much better to be by yourself than to be with someone who's treating you badly. You deserve much better than that. I don't care who you are, what you do, your personality, you need to realize that you are worth more than that. I had a boyfriend who used to call me fat, and he cheated on me like 4 times, and I kept going back to him because I was like, I don't have anyone else. I'm never going to be able to get anyone else. I'm too fat. I can't get anyone. And then finally, he just broke it off with me, thankfully, because it helped me find my fiance, for who, one, is much hotter than the ex-boyfriend, which is very petty to say, and I'm trying to tell people not to think that way, but it's honest. We all kind of play the my ex is better than your ex type of game, but whatever. And also a better person, more goal-oriented, wants to do something very family-oriented, whereas the ex-boyfriend is living with his parents still 5 years after he's graduated from high school. So he's very, I'm grateful for the crappy experience in order to realize what's a good experience, but I think that it's really, you have tunnel vision in that experience. I had tunnel vision. I felt like there was no one else out there. Nobody else was going to love me. I was going to be alone forever. You know, I was alone for a year before I met my fiance, but I had to realize that that's not a bad thing. Being by yourself is not the end of the world. You just need to keep focused on finding someone that's going to treat you well. And if you have someone who is pretty good to you but could be better, you know, once again, have frank and honest talks about them and say, this is what I want to do for you, this is what I want you to do for me, and don't be afraid of conflict. Conflict in relationships is going to happen. There's no relationship out there that doesn't have conflict. And if it doesn't have conflict, it's not a healthy relationship. You need to have conflict. Now, how you manage that conflict is so important. if you are people that, you know, avoid conflict, you guys feel like an argument, something, they just ignore each other and hope it'll blow over, that's not necessarily a great thing either. You're not addressing the issues that need to be addressed. If you're someone who just gets it head on to the point where you're screaming at each other, that's not good either, because a lot of times your emotions get caught up and you can say completely irrelevant things. I remember being in a fight with an ex and telling him he was disgusting and that he disgusts me. In reality, he didn't, but I said it to hurt his feelings. So when you have conflict, you need to sit down and you need to do it level-headed, and it's so hard. I mean, I preach it and I try to practice it, but you just have to go into things realizing that emotions in that situation are best when they're well managed. Of course you want to bring your emotion in, because it could be a conversation about your emotions, but if you just come raging in with emotions, it's going to make your complete argument seem just worthless and petty. And so it's important to manage that very carefully. I know that my parents long ago went into marriage counseling, and they were told to write down arguments. When they're in an argument with someone, to write it down on paper, instead of verbally talking to each other. Because when you're writing something, well, first of all, it takes longer, and you have that time in between to think about what you're going to say, and you can be a bit more articulate if you're writing it down compared to if you're just yelling words out, letting them blurt out. There's a little bit more of a filter. So if you find yourself doing it, it might seem silly, and the guy might laugh at you, but you really need to slow down and manage that conflict in a mature, constructive way. I mean, when it comes to, if you go into, let's say you're having a bad relationship and a bad marriage right now, and you go into counseling, they're going to have you do things like this. They're going to tell you that your fighting is not necessarily all bad, but it needs to be more constructive, and it needs to be in a more logical way. It needs to actually accomplish something instead of create more problems. It needs to be a process for a solution. And so if you start now, even when you first start dating a person, if you start with that routine, you're going to have a much healthier relationship. And then it'll make you more confident in yourself. And that comes around in a loop. If you are managing conflict constructively, if you're in a relationship, a mature relationship with someone that's now full of petty drama, then you're going to feel more secure about yourself. And then thus, you don't have to worry about the way you look, because you shouldn't have to. Because I don't care how many stupid, awful people out there say that it is your fault. It's not always your fault. And there are so many people out there that are overweight, and yet there's all these fingers being blamed to them. Then we have these skinny celebrities who, half of them are probably on drugs to get skinny, and now these are supposed to be role models for us. It's just a huge mixed message, and it's really awful. That kind of brings me to a couple of things I've noticed in mainstream, which is, I think, really negative things. First of all, I don't know if any of you have caught the Fox News segment. I know you can pick it up probably on a couple different websites on the internet, but it was about the American Idol winner, Jordan Sparks, who they were saying that she was overweight and that she shouldn't have won American Idol because she was overweight. Of course, one of the other guest speakers on Fox News was like, that's a load of crap, but there was a little bit, it was a huge argument. I mean, I suggest you look it up and you can see what it's like, but it's just really, it's just discrimination, plain and simple. It's bigotry, it's pointing out, it's saying that being skinny makes you a better person, or makes you a better singer than someone who is fat, overweight. Now, I don't even think I would never use the word overweight or fat for her, but I'm just saying that that's what they perceive her as, and I just think it's ridiculous, and I urge you to, you know, bring it up with friends and family and talk about it. And because if that's what people watch, and they're gonna be like, oh, that makes sense, you know, we don't want to promote a, you know, unhealthy lifestyle, you have to look at the flip side. You are stereotyping people that might be perfectly healthy as being unhealthy, and that itself is so unhealthy. You have to think of the depression that you're creating people, the anxiety, the constant torture that you're going to give people if you're like, well, you are a bad person because you are overweight. It's ridiculous. So I just urge you to talk to friends and family and raise awareness and show this is just an incredibly ignorant way to think. Also, I went to buy some khakis for work the other day, and I was told that Old Navy in my hometown is discontinuing their plus size line, which I just found, I was dumbfounded. I mean, first of all, anytime I go back there, it's always, like, empty, because it's, people come and get the stuff, like, right when they put it on the racks. And they said they just weren't making enough money. Although, apparently, the word is that you will get a better selection on oldnavy.com, which, I mean, is great and all, except you can't try anything on, and, you know, shipping and handling. Although, it is a flat shipping rate of $5, is $5 extra that I wouldn't have to pay in the store. So, if, you know, let me know how, if that's a trend going around. I mean, I couldn't imagine that they would completely do away with it, and they're one of the only, you know, big retailers out there that actually cater to a plus size. And like I might have, I think I might have said last time, but I should reiterate it here. Vanity just did away with its two larger sizes too in jeans, which I thought was just ridiculous once again, because those sizes were always gone when I went to go shopping. It's just, it's getting away from that. They're getting away from that, catering to bigger girls, when it used to be a movement in the other direction. So there's been some regression. I'm not sure why, which I think is awful. On the positive side, after those two negative things, I did notice when I was in the store the other day, and oh, I'm awful for not remembering this, but it was a full-figured magazine, kind of like a 17. Oh, if someone knows it, please let me know. I should know. I looked at it. But I went through some of the pages, and wow, what a positive thing. I was sitting right next to the other fashion magazines, and I was like, I have to buy it. I mean, there's no reason why I shouldn't buy this. Even if I don't want to read it, I'm going to do it just to support this magazine. So if you're on your newsstands, look around. They always have full-figure models on the covers, full-figure models on the inside, and they're always really supportive, great articles on the inside. So I totally suggest that magazine to everyone. Also, I was kind of cruising the web, looking for things, and I realized that Fredericks of Hollywood offers plus-size lingerie, which I hadn't noticed before, because I'm looking for a wedding set, and they do offer bigger sizes on some of their lingerie, which is awesome, because lingerie is one of the crappiest things to shop for, in my opinion. I always feel like it's only supposed to be sexy. I feel like, ugh, it's just lumpy and gross on me. But the fact that they have things that are going to really fit is just awesome. I totally commend them for that. You should check it out. And that's it for now. Now, next week's topic is going to be all about summer. It's going to be all about summer. Now, this includes swimsuits, which I know is everybody's favorite thing in the entire world. Not. summer clothes, which often are a little bit less fabric, which makes me, you know, less comfortable. And then also things just, we're going to talk about being hot. I feel like I'm hot all the time and I'm sticky and gross. We're going to talk about what ways to feel better in your skin during the summer. Especially in my climate where it's nice and humid, this is definitely going to be helpful. And I'd love to get suggestions or comments from you guys. And so once again, you can visit my MySpace, which is myspace.com/thankyoubut. And go ahead and leave comments, add me as a friend. You can see episode notes. It's great. You can send us an email at missfattypodcast@hotmail.com. You can also visit our podcast website, which is fatty200.podomatic.com, where you can look up episodes. You can also send us audio clips, and you can send us messages through there also. And just to let you know, we always try to get things on the internet, try to get things on air if you put them on the internet. There's a couple of things that people posted on my MySpace, which I'm going to go ahead and share with us next time. And other than that, I'd like to thank you for tuning in, and it won't be too long before I hear from you again. So this is Miss Fatty saying peace. I'm out.
And as always, we'd like to give a special thanks to Magnatune.com, which is an independent online recording label that hand selects its own artists, sells its catalog music through online downloads and print-on-demand CDs, and licensed music for commercial and non-commercial use. You can find all of the music that I feature today at Magnatune.com. If you'd like a list of those artists, you can visit our website at fatty200.podomatic.com.